Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
How are you?
I am all right.
I haven't heard you for a long time.
Well, I'm still around.
I have news for you. I had my test and everything came out negative.
Okay, so, that's good.
Right. So your friend says that he's going to take me to the Hilton Saturday night to dance.
I wish you the best, and I hope he keeps his promise to you. Good to hear you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my friend.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Just one question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just one question to you.
Sure.
Hold on one sec.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just one question to you, buddy.
Okay.
Where it is in Barbados, you know this?
Where I don't live?
Where you didn't live.
Where I didn't live? Prerogative in St. George. Bathsheba in St. John.
Don't go no further.
I tell you already, I'm a vagrant. Do you believe me?
You see, the truth is, buddy.
What happened?
You live all about.
You all just about tell me a vagrant.
You get one little taste of St. Thomas. Right?
It was a sweet taste, yeah.
And you had to set up your tombstone in St. Thomas again.
It's sweet, though.
You moved from one part of St. Thomas.
And I dragged St. Thomas all about the place behind me, and they went willingly, too.
You know? So, I hope, though, that you could testify that St. Thomas is the best parish on the island. After visiting the garrison and...
I even went St. Philip at one point. I even went St. Philip right out on the end of Wellhouse Bay after me had to jump off the cliff.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I had St. Thomas with me then too,
to hold me back. I know that you're I got some friends that who live in Bottom Bay, actually.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, my best friend actually lives.
Fellas, I have this fascination names like that, but anyhow.
Bottom Bay, man.
I know.
Beautiful place.
I know. Very very deserted and nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You got to be careful. You got some people. I don't know if they're still hanging around, right?
Boss, I just told you I live right on the end of the cliff. You think cars used to come to the end of the cliff because they didn't know where they were going?
Anyhow, I call you to piggyback really on one of your earlier callers,
mm-hmm.
right? A fellow moderator,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Glamour.
Yes, sir.
I want to piggyback on what he had his presentation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he talk about how to assist the frontline workers in a tangible way, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I'm more sure he's pointing in the direction of government or government agency, how you can really show these people not just talk. Don't just come out in the streets and beat a pot or a pan or ring a bell. Show them saying that they could lift up, that they could pass on, that they could point to. I agree with you, I agree with Glenn Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a problem with that,
mm-hmm.
right? I think you support you as well.
Mm-hmm. I did.
This is my thing we're piggybacking on now. Look, why government? Why? I think that government have done it a bit, right? They keep all this safe and whatnot, give the frontline people the assurance that they would be taken care of. At least, it wouldn't got to be that hassle when they shut down the country. It would not be shut down to them. And that is a good gesture on the part of government. I want to look at it broader, though. I want to look at the private interests, right? The frontline people really there, and there was assisting corporate Barbados as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that corporate Barbados, with all the agencies and all of that, like the supermarkets, the fast food chains and all that, the credit unions and the lending agencies,
mm-hmm.
should give the frontline workers a token of appreciation too. I think that they should be hassle-free. Ben don't want to purchase a motor car or get some place to live. I think that the credit unions and the lending agencies should, I wouldn't say give way, but at least to make it a little more easy for them people, their frontline people, to be hassle-free. I also think, too, that when you look at the supermarkets with all the profits and millions they make, because in the COVID shutdown, even in the shutdown period, the supermarkets in this country did not suffer out of pocket. All right? Because you and I, we have friends that work in the supermarkets, and we have friends that would have tell us, hey, when they carry on their cash register to the accounts office, the pan is still full. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
So all I'm saying, the supermarkets should identify the frontline people and say, hey, this is a coupon. The same way you could come at Christmas time and tell your rent for the money and fill up as much goods and produce you could get fill in 2 or 3 trolleys. You should give them people a voucher to say, hey, we can cut your trolley in half in terms
Maybe they do, I don't know.
But I'm saying, I'm not saying they don't, but all I'm saying, mm-hmm. if they do it, mm-hmm. at least it should be highlighted. Mm-hmm. Right? Now I can tell you what I do. And this didn't start yesterday. For instance, if I in a line, this is start with COVID or anything so, mm-hmm. and I see a nurse or any uniformed person, whether it be prison officer, police, nurse, or anybody, and I more to the, or in the banking line, mm-hmm. and I more up to the counter.
You let them go?
I give them people my space, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Nothing wrong with that.
I give them people my space, more so with the police. I give them it all the time. Because I believe that them people are going to do a job to protect me and the wider society. Mm-hmm. So let me look at appreciating these people in a more tangible way. Right. And don't just give lip talk and mouth talk to something that could do with just a stroke of a pen. Right? And I want to touch on something.
Let me say this to you. And it's one of my... let's say one of my pet peeves. I think there are too many organizations, business organizations in particular, where the structure of the business is so loose that things like the organizational chart, who's in charge of where, you know, whose supervisor reports to whom, who line staff reports to where, is clearly done. And how you and when you reward your staff is, you know, just saying that you have an employee at the month where you put their picture up, you know, what else do you do? There are some places that the HR department is well organized.
And I know you're thinking behind that, you know, to pick up a fella from among the bunch and say, hey, you can put your picture as employee, man. I know you're thinking behind that, you know.
I ain't going with the thinking yet. I'm just talking about the structure, right? So that if you have a situation where, let's say for the COVID shutdown period, or you have... let's say your business get flooded one day and employees come to assist in lifting things and moving things. How do you reward them? Other than saying just, you know, thank you, well, it's your workstation you're fixing, so, you know, you might as well come and mop up the water. You know, things like that. If you have a way of making people feel rewarded rather than just the picture on the wall and a note saying thank you, people like to get a little... grease in mm-hmm. the palm, you know what I'm saying? A little free gas tank of gas, or, you know, something.
Let it be more tangible, though.
Yeah, as I said.
Not just a one.
Not a picture on your wall and a tank, you know. A little squeeze in the hand will help. Yeah.
A little thing.
I can't disagree with that.
my another thing, and I should have, if I know you were on yesterday, no disrespect.
I wasn't on yesterday.
To my friend Joanne. No. But if I know that you did.
On today.
Because I know you had a bite at Sherry earlier.
Yeah, it's just Tuesday and Thursday.
But, oh boy. Peter's in the call?
No. Yeah,
he back
very soon. Not as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
He can't fly out of Paris. My Paris locked down. He tell me so.
Oh, okay.
Listen, we Zoom Peter almost every other week. He Zoom regular. He could reach us via Zoom.
Sit
in the comfort of Paris. Well, not Paris.
Let me go somewhere with you that I should have kicked for you if I know that you'd get beyond.
Don't do what you do, Yassi, because you do them already. Don't do that. Left that. Go ahead. Tell me what you want to tell me.
No, I just want to say, hey, I know the entertainers lining up. I know the masqueraders lining up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all the special interest people and all the stakeholders that put on the spectacle in the Cropover Festival. I know they're lining up to have an audience with the NCF and the Prime Minister. And I just want to reiterate from what I said yesterday, hey, PM, put the brakes on that for now. Until we can see a vaccine, do not open the floodgates. We have many other years, if we're still around, to jump up and get merry. But for right now, I think, and you will see that Trinidad has followed Barbados League and said, hey, and they come out early, there will be no carnival in 2021.
Yeah, the challenge, sir, is twofold. One, I'm trying to please all your constituents, and two, saying, you know, be sensible with this. Yes, looking at the calendar for next year, August may be a little far away, but there are those who see it as being their cash earning period, and they earn no cash in the last one, so they want to make projections down the road. My thing is, if we really find creative ways to make money, this is an opportunity to get creative and show how creative we are to celebrate Cropover without doing it the traditional way. And who knows? We may find a new avenue to make money. Who knows? Because people may have money from somewhere that they want to spend by then. Thanks for your comments. 4341790. You can send a WhatsApp message. A WhatsApp message to 266-4862. You can send an email to brassstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Someone I know well says, we need to create more ways, both online and in our communities, where our creatives can make money all year round. That would take away a huge percentage of the dire needs Cropover provides. Who do we then need to create? Our creatives need to create avenues for them to make money year round. I used the bully pulpit, if you want to call it that, that Fireworks gave me to suggest that or designers who go to community college and learn design should design masquerade costumes rather than importing beads and feathers from China. And a fellow moderator said to me that I like too much cloth, that I like Peter Minshall and all that cloth. People just want a fet. And I then asked, is Grand Cadoument a fet on the road, or is it a masquerade? Do we want to film it and send it to people overseas and tell them, come to Barbados to do this? Or do we just want to see who walking up on which policeman, by which sign, at which part of the road, and say, ho, ho, look at them though, and tomorrow they're going to be in church playing Holy Holy. What is it? So I asked those questions when I had that opportunity. Creatives need to be creative. We don't need to create for creatives. That's why they're called creative. Be creative. Create. And get the people to follow you. Same way we import beads and feathers. As a friend of mine who worked at the NCF used to tell me, you're always on beads and feathers, put the whole fowl on my back. Nice back it is too. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother.
How are you, sir?
Wonderful.
Okay, blessed. Good.
Uh-huh. Now, let me send a bouquet to the lady at the disabilities unit.
Mm-hmm.
I left a message on the voicemail, and you know what? She called me back.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give her some flowers.
No, please, please.
talking about disabilities, though, the Senator Floyd Morris out of Jamaica, who has some responsibility in CARICOM for the whole question of disabilities, mm-hmm. delivered 2 nights ago, I think, a session to the visually impaired and blind fraternity. Mm-hmm. I call it a webinar.
A webinar, yes, correct.
Yeah, and he was very instrumental in talking about COVID, about the disability, persons with disabilities in the era of COVID-19. And some time ago, I asked questions about two or three times on this program if there were any protocols in place for persons with disabilities in this environment. And I have heard no answers, but he came out and said, because he does some work with CARICOM in this area, said that the CARICOM has a protocol for people living with disabilities in this COVID environment. But it has not been enunciated in Barbados up to this moment, as far as I know, and as far as I believe you know too. I haven't heard anything about it. The other thing is, this whole question of disability legislation as it relates to the disabled in countries across the CARICOM area.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at pains to point out that it started all in Barbados. But do you know that there's no legislation on the books in Barbados for this whole question of dealing with disabilities? And there are 6 Caribbean countries who already have on their books legislation for people living with disabilities. For example, Antigua, Belize, Jamaica, and the Bahamas, to name 4. They already have legislation in place. But yet we are behind the EF ball, and I would like to call on the government of Barbados to really recognize that the 2010 census had over 11,000 people in Barbados with disabilities, and there's no legislation. Well, we get it taught, but no real legislation on the books. I think the time has come now, wherever they have the draft, is to dust it off and get it in the parliament so that persons living with disabilities would have something to fall back on in terms of the legislation. I don't know what your...
I am always curious about that particular anomaly to which you refer, because this is a country that had white paper, green paper, has a disabilities unit, a National Council for the Disabled, has had a person with visual impairment sitting as president of the Senate. Trinidad and Tobago had, I think, a member of parliament or someone in a wheelchair. So it means that CARICOM recognizes the fact that persons who have one type of disability or another. Eric Williams of Trinidad and Tobago, way back in the 1950s or 60s, wore a hearing aid, and they call him Deafy, but he heard fairly well.
That's right.
When he cared too. you know, so the fact that persons with disabilities have made a contribution, even up to the level of parliament and prime minister and president of the Senate, should mean that they recognized that we shouldn't still be asking for special treatment and asking, you know, people making statements of what else they want and, you know, in their value to the workplace. I'm a little surprised sometimes that it takes these kinds of calls and highlights to make people say, oh yeah, we got to fix that.
Yeah, Senator Marsh is also be nominated for a position on the United Nations to representing
persons with disabilities.
Representing persons with disabilities. He's also been nominated. I'm hopeful that he would gain a position there, because I would like to, if it is possible, I would see whether or not I can get somebody to send you that, because I think it was recorded.
I will try to find it, sir. I can promise you I will try to find it.
That was made. If you can't find it, I would call you off here and give you my number.
No problem. I will try to find it.
If you could get that to you,
mm-hmm.
I guess we could go through it. Are you like to read?
I do.
You know what highlights there are in there? And I think there were several highlights, even from going into the bank. How do you treat to that with disabilities and with the sick, with the lying on the floor, the so much lying on the floor? How do you deal with those things? I mean, there are lots of things that came out in that speech that I thought were very, very, very good in terms of persons with disabilities and how we should really handle those persons.
So I especially what you've just pointed out, marks on the floor. I see some supermarkets that, yes, the aisle is wide enough for someone on a motorized chair to get around, but then how do you reach the high shelves? And if it can't get through the space where the cashiers are, what do you do at that point? And if the machine that you can swipe your card on is fixed to the counter, how does someone sit in a wheelchair swipe their card? You know, those things, we also have to look at it. I mentioned earlier that we get into the 21st century, but our mind's still somewhere back in the 19th century sometimes, and it's disconcerting when you look at and realize what we could do, but what we're not yet doing. And I thank you for making those comments, sir. Always good to hear from you.